How many of you commune with God? You talk to God. Have communion with God. Where? Huh? Bill says everywhere. Hazel says in her house. Anybody? In the bathroom where there's peace and quiet. Bill is making so much noise and ripping and tearing around the house. Anybody else? Where do you talk to God? Nancy? In the car. All right, I've done a lot of that. Beth?
In your car.
Why not? Bob? You were talking to God when the tractor ran over. Yeah. You looked up and said, God, and he did, didn't he? He was there. You can talk to God any place, can't you? I wouldn't recommend talking to him in the bar. Huh? Or a strip joint. I want to talk to you about where we commune with God. In early history, the early history of mankind, as recorded in the scripture, man communed with God at altars, commonly known as places of sacrifice. Altars were places where the divine and human worlds interacted. Altars were places of exchange, communication, and influence. God responded actively to altar activity. Became a place where God and man could meet. I know that in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that God would come down and walk with Adam in the cool of the evening, and they would communicate with each other. No altars that we know of in the Garden of Eden. But after man fell into sin, was kicked out of the Garden of Eden, it's when we began to hear about the offering of sacrifices. Who was that whistled at me? Turn him off. Nothing is said that Cain or Abel built an altar, but we do know that they made an offering, a sacrifice. Abel made the one that was acceptable. In Catholic churches, the altar is a place reserved for the consecration of the Eucharist, the bread and the wine, in which they believe that in their altar it is miraculously transformed into the very flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. Thus it is a place to them in which the sacrifice of Christ is a reoccurring event. We as Protestants know that this practice is not scripturally acceptable and true. Thus, we do not partake of communion under those kind of circumstances. I went with one of my parishioners years ago to a funeral at a an Episcopal church. And they were giving communion. And the lady I was with said, "Are you going?" I said, "No, I can't." "Why?" "Because they believe that the communion bread and wine turned into the actual body and blood of Christ, and that's unscriptural. And we cannot partake something that is untrue or unscriptural." In Protestant churches, including Emmanuel Chapel, the altar represents a place where we as human beings can come and interact with God, a place of exchange with God, a place to communicate with God, and a place where God can influence us and our lives to become more like Him. I can't tell you the number of times in 37 years that I've seen people bow at this altar, 35 years that I've seen people bow at this altar and surrender their lives to Christ and transformation. God meets with them right here. We bring our burdens, we bring our cares, we bring our struggles to the altar of God, and God meets us there and He lifts those burdens and lifts those loads. We know that in the Scripture and in our church here at Emmanuel Chapel, God responded and does respond actively with us as we approach Him in prayer. Prayer is not just a ritual. Prayer is meaningful. It is communication with you and God. It is interaction with you and God. Thus, the altar is an absolute essential part of this place of worship. If you came in here some Sunday and the altar is gone, you have right to get upset, disturbed. It's not here just for appearance or furniture. It has a purpose. It has a reason for us to come and interact with God. Altars have been built through the ages out of various types of materials, such as stone and wood and many others. Some were made out of earth. Our altar is made of wood and fashioned and built by a good friend of mine, Samuel Hurst. He worked at Cave Town Planing Mill. Came to our church, was part of our church, Sammy Hurst. Now he's with Jesus. But his hands formed these rails and these spokes and made them and routed them and put them together. And he came and he placed them here. These altars were dedicated to the Lord along with this building in 1984, and to this day, remains a place where you as a person can come and have communion with God. As we see in the Scripture, through the experiences of those who built altars, many different experiences can take place at a true altar that is built to the Lord and to God. Noah built an altar and offered a sacrifice to Yahweh. Genesis 8:22 and 20 and 22. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, gold, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Where did God say that? At the altar that Noah built to meet with God. Noah offered burnt offerings of every clean animal and every clean bird. These weren't sacrifices for sins, but they were sacrifices of thanksgiving, giving God praise and honor and glory, giving to Him the best and the purest that He had within His ark. He was thanking God for His providence and for caring for Noah and his family, thanksgiving for God's salvation. God, through that ark that he had Noah built, saved he and his family, and that two of every animal that he had created in the Garden of Eden, so that they would be preserved from the judgment of God. Aren't you glad that God has applied His blood to your life and has put His blood over you, that you do not have to face judgment because of the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you glad for salvation?
Amen.
Then, like Noah, we need to offer up to God offerings of thanksgiving, offering of praise, offerings of glory. The psalmist declared, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." Oh, hallelujah! Now, I know there's some people that they just love to grumble. You ask them how their day is going, and they're all terrible. You call them up on the telephone and say, "Hey, praise the Lord, hallelujah." "Not that way on this end of the phone." Amen. I think it's time for us to get up in the morning and say, "Glory, hallelujah." It's time for us to get up in the morning, go to our altar that we have, wherever you pray to God, wherever you get in touch with God, go there and give Him praise and give Him glory and give Him honor and praise the Lord for His saving grace. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Psalmist said we need to give sacrifices of thanksgiving. That's what Noah did. "Let us offer upon our altars sacrifices of thanksgiving for the things that God has done in our life." Noah's offering became a sweet aroma that God smelled. God paid it. Now, can you imagine this? God is in heaven. Millions and light years and millions of miles away, wherever heaven is, but He's everywhere, you know. He's omnipresent. And yet when that man of God, Noah, lowered the gangplank and he walked out and he felt dry ground under his feet, and he got his offerings, he built up some stones, some rocks, he made an altar, and there he got some wood together. I don't know how he made a fire. Maybe he was a Royal Ranger. But he got a fire going. And he placed the offerings upon the fire. And don't you know, God, millions of miles away, saw that smoke coming up. Paying attention. Smelled the aroma of that offering coming up to him, saying from Noah, "Thanks be unto God for his salvation and his protection in our lives and saving our family. family. Thank you, oh God. Hallelujah. And God took note of it. I'm telling you, when you whisper your prayers to God, when you call upon the Lord, when you begin to praise Him and you begin to honor Him. Now look, I believe God must be a little bit like me. Somebody comes and they start, oh, I've got this wrong. I've got this. This isn't right. They never have anything good to say. I want to head for the door. Amen. I want to get out of town. I don't like that. How about you? How many of you just enjoy somebody coming by and just pouring all of their cares out on you? Now, I know we need somebody to listen to us when we're suffering and that sort of thing. That's all right, but there's some people that just grumble all the time. And sometimes I kind of believe if we're coming to our altar and we want to commune with God and we want to talk with God and all we can say, oh God, oh God, oh me, oh me, oh me, oh my, oh God, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. After a while, I get with some people, I don't know how to help you anymore. But oh, when we come to God's altar and we begin to praise Him, glory. Has anybody here ever praised the Lord when you felt bad? Huh? Have any of you given praise to God when you were suffering? Huh? What happens when you start doing that?
Feel bad.
Amen! The reason is because God from heaven hears you. He pays attention to that aroma that's coming up from your altar. He hears you. He smells that wonderful aroma of your prayers and your praise, and you're glorifying Him, and He responds and He touches you and ministers to you. Glory! Give Him praise in the house of God. Noah's offering caused a positive response from the presence of the Lord, as will happen when we offer praise for our altar to, from our altar to the Lord. Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. See, God's taking note. You pray in your house, Hazel. God sees that. If you're in your car, Nancy, and you're praying, God's following you down 81. Remember, He has to when you're on 81. If you don't have Him with you, you better get off. See, God pays attention. Wherever you have your altar, wherever you're praying, wherever you're talking to God, God is taking note. And He is going to reward. Here, the Jesus said, He will reward you openly. He will give you a blessing. He will pour out of His blessings upon you when you bring your praise like Noah to God. God responded to Noah, and God said to Noah, you know, you've praised me. You've honored me. You've given me glory. You have thanked me for protecting you. You have thanked me for my providence. And here's what I'm going to do, Noah. I never again in the history of mankind will I ever do this again. But as long as the world lives, as long as the world exists, while the earth remains, there will always be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer. Al Gore, are you listening? You know who he is, don't you? Tree hugger. Listen to what God said. They'll always be cold and hot, always be winter and summer, always be a time to plant and a time to harvest, as long as the earth remains. Oh, you scientists that think you know it all. The earth's going to heat up so hot and all the glaciers and everything going to be gone. And the ocean's going to rise and it's going to engulf the coast. And look out, look out, look out. Ha, they haven't read the word. Right there it is. God's promise. And if he promised that to Noah, just because he built an altar and gave thanksgiving to God, what do you think he's going to do for you when you go in your secret room and shut the door? Hallelujah. Shut the door and begin to give offerings of praise and thanksgiving and glory and honor unto the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. When you come out of there, you're going to come out with the light of God shining in your face. Hallelujah. Like Moses when he was on the mountaintop and came down. He had to cover his face because they couldn't stand to look on him for the glory of God. There's another fellow that built an altar. Elijah prayed at his altar and God answered by fire. Listen. Then Elijah called to the people, "Come over here." They all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one to represent each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 3 gallons. About 3 gallons. He piled wood on the altar, cut the bull into pieces, laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour the water over the offering and the wood." After they had done this, he said, "Do the same thing again." And when they were finished, he said, "Do it a third time." So they did as he said, and the water ran around the altar and even filled the trench. Now, how many of you, when you're going to start a picnic fire, pour water on all of your stuff? Huh? Elijah soaked her down good. At the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself." Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. Hallelujah. And when all the people saw it, they fell down on their face on the ground and cried, "The Lord, He is God." Yes, the Lord is God. Woo! Hallelujah! How do you like to have been in church that day? You'd better have been on the Lord's side. The prophets of Baal had prayed. They prayed at their altar. They had the same wood. They cut up a bull just like Elijah. They put it on there. They prayed all day long. And about noontime, they'd been praying, and Elijah stepped out and said, "Hey, maybe your God's asleep. Wake him up." Nothing had happened. They cried all the louder. Maybe he went on a vacation. See, vacations are biblical. So when I go on a vacation, don't want no one grumble. They're biblical. They took them in Elijah's day. Maybe he went on a vacation and he's not here to hear you. He was making fun of them. I dare you to make fun of any religions today. Huh? They beat themselves. They cut themselves with knives till the blood was running. They were sincere. They were praying hard. But they were praying to the wrong God. Amen? Great demonstration, but to no avail, because they had the wrong God. Buddhism, Confucianism, Hinduism, Islam, Jainism, Shinto, Sikhism, Taoism, Zoroastrianism, all have their altars. And I've been to a lot of these altars. I've stood at their altars and I've watched their people come in and pray their futile prayers. Because they're praying to the wrong gods. Their God doesn't exist. It's only an image. I remember in China when I was in the Buddhist temple and they were coming in there and praying. They had all these ugly creatures and they called them God. They were ugly. I wouldn't want to meet them in the dark. And yet these people were praying to them as if these idols, these gods, were going to meet their needs. Just like the prophets of Baal, they are false gods. And they answer nothing. People today in our society build other kinds of altars. They build altars to money. Look how much, you know, Forbes magazine every year puts out a list of the wealthiest people in the world. And they got Bill Gates. I think he took second place here a couple months ago. Another guy surpassed him for 2 days. 70-some billion dollars he's worth. They're altars. They make altars to their money. They make altars to sports. Two guys went at it last night. Mayweather whooped him. Got at least $100 million. $100 million for fighting somebody. You give me $10 million and I'll take you on for a while. Yeah. Altar to sports. I can't live if I can't wear my Pirates t-shirt or my Patriots hat. Huh? I won't be at church because the Redskins are playing. Lord bless them, even though I don't see how you can. We build altars to these things. They become important things in our lives to the point that we'll spend hundreds and thousands of dollars. If you wanted to see the fight last night, you had to pay Antietam Cable $100. $100. How many groceries I could buy for that? I could go out to Burger King 30 times. Pride. We build altars to pride. We build altars to movements such as abortion. We are offering millions of babies on the altar of abortion. Sexual preferences beginning to stink in my nostril. I was sitting in the hospital the other day in the waiting room with Brother John, waiting on Bessie to get through her operation, and here comes this big, tall, whatever it was. I have an idea. It used to be a man. I couldn't check the essential package, but now it was taken on the form of a female. And John's granddaughter was sitting there, and this thing went by, and I said it to her, "It's a shim." We're building altars to that kind of junk. Sexual movements. I told my class on a Wednesday night, the last Wednesday night, I believe it was, you know, they started out with wanting equal rights for homosexuals and so they can get married. And you know who came out of the woodwork right after they got their bill passed? Some guy come out and said, "I want five wives." I said, "Help him out, Lord. He's in trouble already." And right after him came another group saying, "We want little boys. And we ought to have the right to do that." And then I opened a magazine and there was an article on, "We want to marry nature." Lord have mercy. They're talking about having sex with nature. Sick. We're building altars. And now people want to marry their horse. And their dog and their cat. We need to shoot some people. I didn't say that, did I? The Lord killed a whole generation of people in Noah's day for just that kind of junk. Wickedness. But we're building altars to it. Our society and our culture. Ah, praise the Lord for a man like Elijah. Praise the Lord for people who will believe in God. That in the midst of this terrible generation, you know, Elijah said, "I'm the only one that's still serving God." Before he prayed that prayer, he said, "I'm the only one." Sometimes we begin to feel outnumbered, but I'm going to tell you what. You get your altar to the true and the living God, and you begin to praise Him, and you begin to honor Him, and you begin to worship Him, and give Him glory. And I'm telling you, the fire of God will fall from heaven, and this world will see things take place that they never even believed could happen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. fire will come down and consume your problems and lick up your cares and bring you victory. Hallelujah. When Elijah finished praying at the rebuilt altar that was torn down to God, when he finished praying, the fire came. The people fell on their faces. Those that had been worshiping Baal, those that had been following false gods, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God." Amen. Amen. In the patriarchal period, altars were markers of a place where people prayed, a people met with God, commemorating an encounter with God, or physical signs of habitation. They built them there wherever they pitched their tent. Abraham built an altar because he wanted to meet with God wherever he was, wherever he lived. Abraham built an altar where he pitched his tent between Bethel and Ai. Presumably, at that altar, he called on the name of the Lord. Oh, one more altar. Abraham built an altar to offer his most prized possession to God as a sacrifice. Isaac, his son. You remember that story? Isaac took his son, the one God had promised him. He left carrying a bunch of wood. And when they got to the bottom of the mountain, he laid the wood on Isaac, his young boy. And they started to climb the mountain. And Isaac looked up at Dad and said, "Dad, we have the wood. We have the fire. But where's the sacrifice?" What did Abraham say? "God will provide." Woo! Hallelujah. Go to your altar with that kind of an attitude. God will provide. Amen. Don't go to the altar grumbling and complaining and spitting and spewing. Go to the altar. "My God will meet me. My God will hear me. My God will answer. And He will provide." Up the mountain they went. Abraham laid the wood on the altar he had built. You know where that mountain was? I've stood on it. Right now, that rock where Abraham went is in the Muslim temple, Dome of the Rock. I went in there. We went down under that rock, climbed up, and we laid our hands on that rock where Abraham offered Isaac his son. That's where the new temple will be built. On that very spot. That's where Abraham went to offer Isaac. Laid the wood on the altar. And then he took his son. Can you imagine, Jesse? Taking the boy that God had given you, the only one that God had promised through his wife, Sarah, bound him, tied him up, and laid him up on the altar. You talk about an offering in his heart, Abraham was ready to give God all he had. Abraham was ready to lay all on the altar. How many of us, when we come to God's altar, we come with that kind of an attitude? Lord, I'm here to lay my all on the altar. I hold back nothing from you. I give you my all. So many of us, when we come to our altar to pray, oh God, I'm hurting. I've got needs. I need help. And oh Lord, but no Lord, don't ask me to do this or don't ask me to do that. Lord, you've been good to me and I want to talk to you and I want you to help me and my family and help this one out and that one out and this thing and that thing. But no Lord, I'll never do nursery in church. No Lord, I'll never teach another class in church. No, Lord, I can't quite give you my all. How do you expect God to give to you? When did God bless Abraham? When did God provide the sacrifice? Not until Abraham raised the dagger in his hand and there were only seconds left till he would plunge that dagger into the heart of his boy. But while he had his hand in the air, God saw his heart and he was offering his all on the altar of sacrifice. And God stayed his hand and provided a ram. Woo! I'm telling you, if you'll give your all to God, don't you be coming to God's altar half-hearted and not wanting to surrender your all and expect God to do everything for you. He will not send the fire on your altar until you have laid your all on his altar. That's it. Who wants to put your all on the altar? Come on. You're ready to put your all on God's altar. Stand up. Come. If you don't want to put all that you have, give it all to God, and put your all on God's altar, don't dare come up half-heartedly. But if you mean business, lay yourself across that altar this morning. Those that can, get right down on the altar. Lay yourself. You're the sacrifice. I lay my all. How many more? You want to give your all to God. All to Jesus. This is his altar. It's the altar we have built to God. It's the altar to the Lord. That altar extends out on both sides there. It extends to the front pews this morning. You make an altar before God. I hold back nothing. I don't hope anything from you. Lord, I mean business with you. I'm ready. I'm honored to be able to lay all on the altar of God. And I know, Lord, when I do, in thanksgiving and praise, like Noah, and in giving God honor, like Elijah, the fire of God will come and burn up the dross and burn away the stuff that shouldn't be there. I give my all on the altar of God. Lean up over your chair. Make an altar where you're at. Give your all to God right now. Surrender it to him. Build you an altar. Lord, I give it all. I surrender all to you, Jesus. of sacrifice, Lord, see us. Lord, hear us. Lord, you see these sacrifices this morning. They've laid themselves on the altar of God. They've laid themselves upon the altar that was built to you in the house of God, O Lord. They're saying to you right now, I surrender all. Piece of property and get some, gather some rocks. Sister Adelsberger, I've said this before, used to pastor up at Waynesboro. She had a place in a fence row where a bunch of honeysuckles grew up over the fence. She burrowed out a place back in there. And that she'd take her Bible, and that's where she'd go and pray and spend hours with God. One of my ladies on the Eastern Shore, I've said it before, she took a chair to a grove of pine trees. I don't know if you, how many's ever been in a grove of pine trees? those pine needles all fall and it's nice and soft in there. And she'd take her chair and she'd sit down in that grove of pine trees and with her Bible and talk to God. Meet with God and God would meet with her. That was her altar. Make you an altar. Get alone with God. Now Jesus said, go into your room. How many has ever seen the movie War Room? If you haven't seen it yet, you need to see it. Amazing. War Room. War Room. This old colored lady had a room. She'd go and pray. And I mean, God met with her there. What a testimony. Find that room. And you know, God didn't say you had to go in there and scream and holler and jump and shout. And I watched my dad a many time pray for hours. He'd lay right down on the floor in the living room. Wouldn't hear anything out of him, but every now and then, oh God. But he was talking to God from his heart, from his soul, from his spirit. That was his altar. So find you an altar. Make this sermon come true. Amen. Amen. Go get an altar.